because Vidura had asked him questions about Krishna, questions about the Yadu dynasty. And now, Uddhava is going to describe the disappearance of the Yadu dynasty, which was a precursor to Krishna's own disappearance. And Uddhava describes how he himself was one of the last people to see Krishna on this earth. And he had the fortune of having a final conversation with him. See, what happened is described in the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam. We're going to read some of that. Again, the verses just that we read yesterday, some of those verses describe the precursor to these verses, how Uddhava understood that Krishna was going to leave this world. And he asked Krishna if he could leave with him. And Krishna gave him an assignment to go to the holy place high in the Himalayan mountains named Badrikashram, where the Lord resides in the form of Naranarayan Rishi. And he sent Uddhava there to get the association of the devotees there and to give them a message. Not a message exactly, but some instructions. And those instructions, Krishna then proceeded to tell Uddhava. And those instructions are given in the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam. They're called Uddhava Gita, the very sweet instructions that Krishna himself spoke to Uddhava. Previously, Krishna had spoken instructions to Arjuna, which would free Arjuna from all illusion. And in the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam, he speaks to Uddhava. And then after giving him these instructions, and the Bhagavatam describes how after Uddhava heard these instructions, it was time for him to leave, because the instructions that Krishna gave him were instructions to facilitate the service that he was to perform. That means going to Badrikashram. So when the instructions were completed, it was time for Uddhava to leave. And it was so touching what Uddhava did, because he could not bring himself to leave the lotus feet of the Lord. So he circumambulated the Lord. He touched his feet again and again, and eventually he left. And then, having observed many disturbing signs in the sky, on the earth, and in outer space, Lord Krishna addressed the Yadus, the whole dynasty, who were assembled in the Sudama Council Hall. So he said to them, O leaders of the Yadu dynasty, please note all these terrible omens that have appeared in Dwarka, just like the flags of death. We should not remain here a moment longer. Because of Krishna's presence, there could be no ill omens or difficulties in Dwarka, because Dwarka is actually the spiritual world. So when these appeared, Krishna said, this is very inauspicious, and we should prepare to leave. And actually, Krishna was planning something else. He was planning on leaving, but he was setting something for the Yadu dynasty to leave the planet. The women, children, and old men should leave this city and go to Shankudhara. We shall go to Prabhash, Prabhachetra, where the river Saraswati flows towards the west. We should take bath for purification. We should fix our minds in meditation. We should then worship the demigods by doing abhishek, bathing their deities. And then we should smear them with sandalwood pulp and present to them various offerings. Then we should perform rituals to the demigods with the help of the Brahmins. Then we shall worship the Brahmins by giving them gifts. of cows, land, gold, clothing, elephants, horses, chariots, and dwelling places. And then Krishna says, because this type of worship of the brahmanas and the cows is the best type of worship. So hearing these words from Lord Krishna, who is the enemy of Madhu, the elders of the Yadu dynasty agreed, they gave their assent, saying, so be it. After crossing the ocean in boats, they proceeded on chariot to Prabhas. There, with great devotion, the Yadavas performed the religious ceremonies according to the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, their personal Lord. They also performed various other auspicious rituals. Then, their intelligence covered by providence. Providence means what? Ultimately, it means Krishna. It means fate. Daivi. But Krishna it means. They liberally indulged in drinking the sweet Mairaya beverage, which can completely intoxicate the mind. The heroes of the Yadu dynasty became intoxicated from their extravagant drinking, and they began to feel arrogant. There is a saying in English that pride goeth before the fall. As soon as one gets proud, this is an indication that the fall will soon take place. So by drinking, of course, this is all by the arrangement of Krishna. But the Yadu dynasty, the members, they were so powerful, they began to drink and they began to feel arrogant. And they were thus bewildered by personal pride, by the personal potency of Lord Krishna. And then a terrible quarrel arose amongst them, infuriated with each other due to the effect of the liquor, due to the effect of Krishna's internal energy. They seized their bows and arrows, their swords, their clubs, their lances and spears, and they began to attack one another on the shore of the ocean. Riding on elephants and chariots with flags flying, and also on donkeys, camels, bulls, buffaloes, mules, and even riding on human beings, the extremely enraged warriors came together. You like that one, Sahasra? Which would you like to ride? Elephant, donkey, or human? Horse. Okay. So the enraged warriors came together and violently attacked one another with arrows, just as elephants in the forest attack one another with their tusks. Their mutual enmity aroused. Prajumna fought fiercely against Samba, his own brother, practically cousin brother. Akura fought Kuntibhoja, Aniruddha against Satyaki, Subhadra against Sagramajit, Sumitra against Surata, and the two Gadas against each other. Others also, such as Nashatta, Ulmuka, Sahasrajit, Satajit, and Banu, confronted and killed one another, being blinded by intoxication and thus completely bewildered by Lord Mukunda himself. Completely abandoning their natural friendship, the members of the various Yadu clans, Dasarha, Vishnyandakas, Bojas, Satvatas, Madhus, Abhudas, the Maturas, Surasenas, Visarajanas, Kukuras, Kuntis, all slaughtered one another. Thus bewildered, sons fought with fathers, brothers with brothers, nephews with paternal and maternal uncles, and grandsons with grandfathers. Friends fought with friends, and well-wishers with well-wishers. In this way, intimate friends and relatives all killed one another. When all their bows had been broken and their arrows and other missiles spent, they seized the tall stalks of cane with their bare hands. So that cane had been this was the fulfillment also of the curse of the sages, who, when Samba and the other Yadu boys, they dressed Samba up, as we had mentioned, as a young girl, and they put something underneath and asked, what would she give birth to, a boy or a girl? The sages were not fooled by the trick and said, she will give birth to the destruction of the Yadu dynasty. And they looked, and there was a club there. They took that club, that gada, to Ugrasena, who ground it up into fine powder. And that fine powder was thrown in the ocean. And that powder drifted to the shore, and it grew at Prabhachetra into these iron-hard cane plants. So they seized the tall stalks of cane with their bare hands. As soon as they took these cane stalks in their fists, the stalks changed into iron rods that were as hard as thunderbolts. With these weapons, the warriors began attacking one another again and again. And when Lord Krishna tried to stop them, they attacked him as well. In their confused state, they also mistook Lord Balaram for an enemy. Weapons in hand, they ran towards Balaram with the intention of killing him. O son of the Kurus, Krishna and Balaram then became very angry. Picking up cane stalks, they moved about within the battle and they began to kill with these clubs. The violent anger of these warriors, who were overcome by the Brahmana's curse and bewildered by Lord Krishna's illusory energy, now led them to their annihilation, just as fire that starts in a bamboo grove destroys the entire forest. When all the members of his own dynasty were thus destroyed, Lord Krishna thought to himself that at last the burden of the earth had been removed. Lord Balaram then sat down on the shore of the ocean and fixed himself on meditation on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, merging himself within himself, because he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He gave up this mortal world. Lord Krishna, the son of Devaki, having seen the departure of Lord Ram, Balaram, he sat down silently on the ground underneath a pipala tree. A pipala tree is the same tree as Asat. This is what Lord Krishna looked like as he sat down under the tree. This is important. Please listen carefully. The Lord was exhibiting his brilliant effulgent forearm form, the radiance of which, just like a smokeless fire, dissipated the darkness in all directions. His complexion was the color of a dark blue cloud, and his effulgence the color of molten gold, and his all-auspicious form bore the mark of Srivats. A beautiful smile graced his lotus face. Locks of dark blue hair adorned his head. His lotus eyes were very attractive, and his shark-shaped earrings glittered. He wore a pair of silken garments, an ornamental belt, the sacred thread, bracelets and arm ornaments, along with a helmet, the kastuba jewel, necklaces, anklets, and other royal emblems. Encircling his body were flower garlands and his personal weapons in their embodied form. As he sat, he held his left foot with his lotus red sole upon his right thigh. Okay. Now, here is an explanation given by Srila Jiva Goswami and Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur of the fighting of the Yadu dynasty, because it is very sad to read this. They were influenced by intoxication, so we learn never, 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 never deal with intoxication. But even more than that, they were influenced by the Lord's energy, his own Antaranga Shakti, his own internal energy. And it was Krishna himself who caused all this to happen because he wanted the Yadu dynasty to leave this world, because he was soon to leave the world himself. So here is Jiva Goswami Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's explanation of the leaving of the world of the Yadu dynasty. According to Srila Jiva Goswami, the so-called fight amongst the members of the Yadu dynasty was actually a display of the pastime potency of the Lord. This is Lila Shakti. Since Lord Krishna's personal associates are never subject to ordinary birth and death like conditioned souls. This being the case, certainly the Supreme Personality of Godhead is transcendental to material birth and death, as clearly stated in this verse. The word natasya, this is in a comment on a specific verse, of an actor or magician is significant here. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur tells the following story of a certain magician who exhibits the trick of dying. In front of a great king, a magician approaches. A stack of valuable garments, jewels, coins, and so forth are all placed there by the king. Taking a jeweled necklace, the magician tells the king, "Now I am taking this necklace and you can't have it." And he makes the necklace disappear. "Now I'm taking this gold coin and you can't have it," he says. And he makes the gold coin disappear. Next, challenging the king in the same way, the magician makes 7,000 horses disappear. Then the magician creates the illusion that the king's children, grandchildren, brother, and other family members have attacked each other, and that nearly all are dead from a violent quarrel. The king hears the magician speaking and at the same time observes these things taking place before him as he sits in the great assembly hall. Then the magician says, "O king, I no longer wish to live. Just as I have studied magic, so also by the mercy of the lotus feet of my guru, I have learned the mystic meditation of yoga. One is supposed to give up one's body while meditating in a holy place, and since you have performed so many pious activities, you yourself are a holy place. Therefore, I shall now give up my body." Thus speaking, the magician sits down in the proper yoga posture, fixes himself in pranayama, pratyahara, dharan, dhyan, samadhi, and becomes silent. A moment later, a fire generated from his trance blazes forth out of his body and burns his body to ashes. Then all the wives of the magician, distraught with lamentation, enter into that fire. 3 or 4 days later, after the magician has returned to his own province, he sends one of his daughters to the king. The daughter tells him, "O king, I have just come to your palace, bringing along with me invisibly all your sons, grandsons, and brothers in good health, along with all the jewels and other items given by you. Please, therefore, give me whatever you consider fitting remuneration for the wisdom of the magic that has been exhibited before you." So similarly, just as if a magic performance, Krishna disappears from this world and the members of the Yadu dynasty disappear from this world, it is like a trick in the sense that actually there is no death for Krishna. Ajopisam avyayama bhutanam ishvaropisam. There is no death for Krishna, nor is there death for any members of the Yadu dynasty. But Krishna, the great magician, because he is, the time for his pastimes are finished in this world, so he has taken them and made them disappear and placed them in the next place where his leela is going to continue. In the next universe. And then he himself goes and joins them there. So, Uddhava was explaining this to Vidura, who actually knew what had happened because Vidura had been to Prabhachetra after the disappearance of Krishna. But Uddhava is speaking, and this is what he says. Thereafter, all of them, the descendants of Rishi and Bhoja, being permitted by the Brahmanas, partook of the remnants of prasad and also drank liquor made of rice. By drinking, they became delirious, and bereft of knowledge, they touched the cores of each other's hearts with harsh words. As by the friction of bamboos, destruction takes place, the forest fire begins, so also at sunset, due to the interaction, due to the faults of intoxication, all their minds became unbalanced and destruction took place. The personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, after foreseeing the end of his family, by his internal potency, by his own power, by his, like the magician, makes so many things appear and disappear by his power. So Krishna then went back to the bank of the river Saraswati, sipped water, and sat down underneath a tree, Brikshamulam, by the root of the tree. Here is Prabhupada's purport. All the above-mentioned activities of the Yadus and Bhojas were executed by the internal potency of the Lord, because he wanted them, the Yadu dynasty, his family members, to be dispatched to their respective abodes after he had finished his mission of descent. They were all his sons and grandsons and were given complete protection by the paternal affection of the Lord. How could they be vanquished in the presence of the Lord as answered in this verse? Everything was done by the Lord himself, Swatma Mayaya. The Lord's family members were either incarnations of his plenary expansions or demigods from the heavenly planets. And thus before his departure, before Krishna's departure, he separated them by his internal potency. Before being dispatched to their respective abodes, they were sent to the holy place of Prabhas, where they performed pious activities and took food and drink to their heart's content. It was then arranged for them to be sent back to their abodes so that others could see that the powerful Yadu dynasty was no longer in this world. In the previous verse, the word anugita, indicating that the whole sequence of events was arranged by the Lord, is significant. These particular pastimes of the Lord are not manifestations of his external energy or his material energy. Such an exhibition of his internal potency is eternal, and therefore one should not conclude that the Yadus and Bhojas died in a drunken state in an ordinary fratricidal war. Srila Jiva Goswami comments on these incidents as magical performances. So Uddhava is speaking this. Uddhava is telling Vidura that this has happened. And then Uddhava said, "The Lord is the vanquisher of the distresses of one who is surrendered unto him. Thus he who desired to destroy his family told me previously to go to Badrikashram." So, previously, after in Dwarka, Krishna had told Uddhava to go to Badrikashram. So, Uddhava started towards Badrikashram. And then when he heard that Krishna and the Yadu dynasty were going to Prabhas, Prabhachetra, he turned back and followed them. And he arrived just when Krishna had sat down underneath that peepal tree, that asat tree, after the entire Yadu dynasty had been destroyed. That was Uddhava's own dynasty. So Krishna had sent him because he didn't want Uddhava. He didn't want this to happen to Uddhava. He had a different plan for Uddhava. So when Uddhava had been instructed to go to Badrikashram, but as text 5 said, when he heard that Krishna had gone to Prabhas, he couldn't tolerate the Lord's separation. And he broke his order, his instruction, and went to be with him in Prabhas. Verse thus following them there, I saw my patron and master, Lord Sri Krishna, sitting alone and deeply thinking, taking shelter of the bank of the river Saraswati, although he is the shelter of the goddess of fortune. So Krishna was just sitting there in a forearm form, thinking very deeply underneath this asata tree. The Lord's body is blackish, but is eternal, full of bliss and knowledge, and very, very beautiful. His eyes are always peaceful, and they are reddish, like the rising morning sun. I could immediately recognize him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead by his four hands, different symbolic representations in yellow silk garments. The Lord was sitting, taking rest against a young banyan tree, this asa tree, this peepal tree, with his right lotus foot on his left thigh. And although he had left all household comforts, although he was sitting there just by himself under the brikamula, under the root or by the root of the tree, he looked, and although he had no comforts, even though he was a king and had so many palaces, 16,000 palaces, he looked perfectly peaceful and cheerful just sitting under this tree. Because, of course, he is the supreme Atmaram, the supreme self-satisfied one. He doesn't need anything to make him happy. So sitting any place, Krishna is perfect and happy. So then Uddhava came. And then as soon as Uddhava came, Maitreya Muni appeared. Maitreya Muni is a great sage who is a friend of Vyasadev, a disciple of Parasamuni, the father of Vyasadev. So he's a friend of Vyasadev. So just as Uddhava came to see Krishna, Uddhava was a devotee and he could not stand the separation from Krishna. So he got there. And at the same time, by the arrangement of Krishna, Maitreya Muni, a great sage, appeared there as well. Now Maitreya Muni and Uddhava were different, because Uddhava was a great devotee and Maitreya Muni was a Jnani Bhakta. He loved Krishna in some senses, but he was basically an impersonalist, trying to understand everything through jnana, through knowledge, and coming to the conclusion basically that what? That the perfection was to merge into the great formlessness. That's what Maitreya Muni had concluded. But yet, by Krishna's mercy, and as Prabhupada explains in the purport, by his agyata sukriti, by him having done some, having unconsciously, without knowledge of the importance of bhakti, done some devotional service, such as serving some devotee, or hearing the Bhagavatam from a devotee. Somehow or another, he had done something without understanding. He had come in contact with pure devotional service, even without his understanding the importance of pure devotional service. So by Krishna's arrangement, and due to his agyata sukriti, Maitreya Muni appeared there, came there, while Krishna was sitting under this asata tree, just as Uddhava arrived. But who did Krishna begin to speak to? He did not begin to speak to Maitreya Muni, even though Maitreya Muni was a great, great sage. He began to speak to Uddhava, because Uddhava was his devotee. Text 11. He said, O Vasu, I know from within your mind what you desired in the days of yore. This is the Lord sitting under the peepal tree, asa tree, speaking to Uddhava and calling him Vasu. I know what you desired so long ago in the days of yore, when the Vasus and other demigods responsible for expanding the universal affairs performed sacrifices. You particularly desired to achieve my association. This is very difficult to obtain for others, but I award it to you. Prabhupada explains in the later part of the purport. In the days of yore, when the demigods and Vasus performed sacrifices, Uddhava, as one of the Vasus, desired to enter into the association of the Lord, which is very difficult for those busy in empiric philosophical speculation or fruitive activities. Earlier on in the purport, it describes how this Vasu was an expansion. There was a part, an expansion of Uddhava was actually this Vasu. So as an expansion of Uddhava, he desired to be with Krishna directly. So he got the blessing that he could be with Krishna. And that expansion of Uddhava went back into the form of Uddhava at this particular time. So that's what he wanted. Such persons have practically no information of the facts about becoming an associate of the Lord. That is the purpose of the Bhagavatam. There are so many different scriptures. There are so many different religions. Even in the Vedic culture and the non-Vedic culture, there are so many different scriptures and so many different understandings and aspects explained about the Absolute Truth and our relationship with God. But only here in the Bhagavatam is it described how we have to become an associate of Krishna. And that is the supreme goal of religion. That is actually the goal. Prema pramato mahan. That we develop love for Krishna and go to Krishna and live as an eternal associate of Krishna. So very few people, even though people may be so pious and religious, who understands this? Only the pure devotees can know by the mercy of the Lord that the personal association of the Lord is the highest perfection of life. The Lord assured Uddhava that he would fulfill his desire, that he would go to the spiritual world, Vaikuntha. It appears that when the Lord informed Uddhava by his indication, informed him by his indication to Uddhava, the great sage Maitreya finally became aware of the importance of entering into the association of the Lord. So in other words, when Krishna told Uddhava that yes, you will achieve the highest goal, which is my personal association, Maitreya, hearing that, even though Krishna was not speaking to him, Maitreya understood, aha, that this is the highest. Not merging into the one, that is not the highest, but becoming a personal associate of Krishna. That is the highest. So Maitreya at that point changed. His heart changed by the mercy of Krishna. By hearing the words of Krishna, his heart changed and he became a devotee. So Krishna continued speaking. There's two more verses we'll read. O honest one, he told Uddhava, your present life is the last and the supermost, because in this term of life, you have been awarded my ultimate favor. Now you can go to my transcendental abode, Vaikuntha, by leaving this universe of conditioned living entities. Your visit to me in this lonely place because of your pure and unflinching devotional service is a great boon for you. O Uddhava. So he's saying, now you can go back to Godhead. This is the highest destination. So Maitreya heard this. Now in the last verse we're going to read today, Krishna then says, because he's sitting there in his forearm form, and he gives Uddhava a benediction. But then he explains who he is, because Uddhava was dealing with him in Dwarka. Even though Uddhava knew that he was the Lord, now Krishna himself is going to explain that he is the Supreme Lord to Uddhava. He says, O Uddhava, in the lotus millennium, the Padmakalpa, in the days of yore, at the beginning of the creation, I spoke unto Brahma, who is situated on the lotus that grows out of my navel. I spoke to him about my transcendental glories, which the great sages describe as Srimad Bhagavatam. So this explanation that Krishna is telling, that I spoke to Brahma, I am the one who spoke to Brahma so many thousands and millions of years ago, that was the explanation that we heard. That was what we heard Krishna tell Brahma in the ninth chapter of the second canto. So Krishna is saying here that I am the one who spoke this to Brahma. Remember the Chatusloki Bhagavatam, the whole Bhagavatam summarized in four verses. Jnana vijnana rahasya rahasyam tarangam. The whole Bhagavatam spoken in four verses. So Krishna is saying, I am the one who spoke this. And this, which describes my transcendental glories, this is known as Srimad Bhagavatam. Okay, I'll stop here. And tomorrow, if Krishna allows, we'll finish this fourth chapter. Any questions or comments?
Guru Maharaj is describing how Maharaja Muni's conception of the goal is impersonal. It's hard to understand how that aspiration can be mixed with bhakti. As a kyara bhakti.
But that for anything to be successful, it has to be mixed with bhakti. So even the impersonalists, to achieve their desired goal of merging with the One, they have to have some bhakti in there. It is not real bhakti, it is not pure bhakti, but there has to be some way to get mercy from Krishna so that they can get their desire of becoming one with Krishna. Nothing occurs, neither fruit of activities, the success of fruit of activities, nor the success of jnana, knowledge, which is to merge into the Lord's effulgence. None of these can be successfully performed without bhakti. So ultimately, what has to happen is they're trying to meditate on the oneness of everything, and then they have to beg Krishna to let them merge. So that begging Krishna is the bhakti.
What kind of perception would they have of Krishna?
If they're impersonalists, they're different from Mayavadis, if they're Brahmavadis. So if they're impersonalists, they say that the form of Krishna is eternal, but the unmanifest is superior. Any other?
I'm wondering how Maitreya Muni, the disciple of Parasara Muni, who is the stance devotee, Krishna devotee of the Lord, and also the very, very good friend of Vyasadeva, who is the
spiritual master.
Spiritual.
Is that what it says?
The spiritual disciple of Parasara Muni. And a very, very good friend of Vyasadeva could be impersonalist
and not understand the supreme goal.
blessings.
It's very rare, this understanding that is given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is very rare. Even in the teachings of Ramanuja and Madhvacharya, of course they are great Vaishnavacharyas, but it is never as clear. Nothing is as clear as the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So I can't exactly answer your question, how could he be what he is? Another interesting question is that one can ask is, Krishna wanted to give someone some mercy because there are so many great sages, and most sages, or so many sages, they tended to be impersonalists. But why did he pick Maitreya Muni? Of all the sages, he picked this great one and exalted him in such a way that he became a speaker of the Bhagavatam and spoke it to Vidura. So there's two ways of looking at that question, answering that question. One is that Maitreya Muni, as Prabhupada explained in the purport, had some agyata sukriti. But ultimately, somehow Krishna wanted to show him some special mercy. He decided to change him. Any other questions or comments?
An example so that this person can see who Sukadeva Goswami was and understand him. He was also apparently playing the mood of Brahman.
Yeah. Because in the if one is following the yoga ladder, even the way that the Bhagavad Gita is explained, one practices karma, becomes detached, then one practices jnana, and then after the practice of jnana, one comes to the platform of practicing bhakti yoga. Yoga means ultimately bhakti yoga. But yet, so this is the yoga ladder, the natural progression, that one naturally will progress from jnana to bhakti. But yet, if one stops at a certain point, or due to association decides to merge, then one won't go any higher. But always, at all times, it seems they're impersonalists.
Majorly, in fact, exclusive. On a higher level, there's the synthesis of all these three.
Also, all these three?
Yeah.
What is that? In bhakti. That is actually the synthesis of all.
The synthesis there, and then you can call it bhakti.
But that's actually the synthesis, because it takes the jnana, the non-activity, and that everything is spiritual, and puts in the activity and adds the devotion. So all it becomes synthesized in bhakti, and therefore Mahaprabhu's teaching of the Chintya Beda Veda is the synthesis. That everything is, because everything in this world is the same as Krishna, so in that sense everything is one, but everything is simultaneously inconceivably different from Krishna. So there's simultaneous oneness and difference. Ajinta Ved Aved. Any other questions or comments?
In all the last ones, the Lord asked for the Vrindavan to see a pair in the forehead.
There's different controversies on that. But even though he's Vasudev Krishna, he's to him. Tava Somyam Cha Arjuna. That's what in the Bhagavad Gita, Jisvedam Manusham Rupam, Tava Somyam Cha Arjuna. Seeing before you in this Somyam Rupam, this human form, so human forms don't have forearms. So that's the conclusion of Srila Baladev Vidya Goswami. That is why?
Cause full expansion.
Where? I'm not sure what you're asking.
Expansion power.
What word? Cow?
One of the ones ate last week.
Oh. Yeah, don't worry. We can't understand so easily these things. But sometimes different expansions make up one person. Not here in this world, but this is the way it works. Different expansions. They have different expansions to do different things. So one expansion of Uddhava was a Vasu. So this is also between Vasudev and Devaki and Yasoda and Nanda. There's similar things like this. Krishni and Sutava. They're expansions of each other. But the original one is Nanda and Yasoda. So this is very difficult to understand. How is it possible in the material world? It is not possible. But in the spiritual world, why not? If they want to expand and do something for the service of Krishna, they do it. I can't answer any better than that. I'm not able.
They
lack some association, maybe. That's the key always in rising from karma to jnana to bhakti, even association. So you can say, well, they have some sanskar in this way, but by association they can, just as exhibited here, by association they can go up. Even Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Prakasananda Saraswati, by association with Mahaprabhu, by being touched by his mercy. Basically, the impersonalism is a material conception of the Absolute Truth. Nirakar, without form. So if you're asking, what is it that makes an impersonalist?
What is it next then to desire the money into the Brahman?
Because they're interested in liberation.
Despite having the complete knowledge, not that they do have any sense of knowledge, they have complete knowledge.
But knowledge isn't. But the knowledge has to be delivered properly to them. Otherwise, it's so easily misunderstood. It has to be come from a devotee, otherwise. Not just knowledge, not just seeing it, because they'll twist it, because the glory of Sanskrit is you can make it dance as you like, according to what you want. Practically speaking, so one has to hear through the disciplic succession.
There is a great variety also. So some people want to choose this, some want this, some want this, and Krishna has given them all varieties of life, you know, whatever you choose.
Okay, let's stop. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. So tomorrow, if Krishna allows, we'll finish the chapter. And tomorrow, Vidura will meet Maitreya.